Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll forever think of him in Smokey and the Bandit being a good guy.
Me too. He's fantastic.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's with Letterman Row. He's with the Tim May podcast. He's wildly entertaining.
The legend.
He's Tim May. Tim, Phelps here, Bennigan there, no Baskin today.
What's
How
up,
are you, buddy?
Phelps here, Bennigan there, no Baskin today. That sounds like the name of a show, brother.
Something like that.
The closest name I've ever found to Bennigan is Bennigan's, the former restaurant chain.
Yes, exactly. Begin again. But anyway, I was thinking about something totally different. I thought you were going to bring up a Baskin and Robbins or something.
No, I wasn't going to do that. Hey, I must tell you, and you know so much more about college football and everything else than I do. I can tell you that I am really enjoying the fact that teams with a loss are highly ranked and right there in contention for a national championship. And if nothing else, that's what the expanded playoff has given me. I think that's outstanding.
Yeah, with one loss, but with two losses, are you still in that same camp?
That's why the Ohio State Penn State game was so critical, right?
Yeah, but this is elimination Saturdays coming up. I mean, you know, with Alabama playing at LSU and Georgia at Ole Miss, Georgia could probably afford to lose this game, but I wouldn't count on it. But Alabama or LSU, you got to figure in a just and true world, Alabama or LSU will be out of the running after this weekend. Whoever wins that game will be still in the running. But yeah, it's made it extremely interesting, but sort of at the expense of others, because you know if a two loss SEC team worms its way in there instead of a one loss, let's say if Ohio State wins out, you'd have a one loss Indiana if indeed Indiana wins out, other than Ohio State and right on down the line. I mean, you know, that's when the bickering's going to begin, because how many chances should you really get, you know? But I'm just trying to feed hot air right here right now, because I don't really know where I come down on the whole thing. You want to see the top 12 teams get a shot. You're probably not going to see all top 12 teams get a shot because of the way the thing is weighted. But it has made it much more interesting in terms of what do you want to call it, Elimination November, because that's exactly what it feels like right now.
Yeah, no kidding, man. And the other part of it that makes it so much fun is the fact that, you know, you get that automatic buy for the Power Four, right? We're Power Four. Is that what we're calling it now? I don't even know.
But, you know, it's still not clear to me if a team wins, like if Boise State wins out and, you know, you've got a Power Four conference team that ends up winning its championship, like, with a two loss or maybe even a three loss, who knows, in like the ACC or the SEC, whether or not That team with, you know, because it is conference champions. I don't think just Power Four. I may be wrong, but the bottom line is, yeah, it's you want to win your conference championship game to give yourself that break at the beginning of these playoffs. And we've talked about this before on this show, that getting to your conference championship game and then losing is probably the worst case scenario.
Absolutely.
Because now you're playing five extra games after the regular season, not four.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's become massive, Tim. And on top of the fact that now, just because you dropped that Oregon game for right now, it's looking like you're going to have to host a first-round game as the five seed, and then here comes a Boise team with a kid who can't stop running.
Yeah, I mean, but you'd still much rather host that game, that's for sure.
That's for darn sure.
Number one, and number two, you know, Ohio State, for example, you're drawing Ohio State in there. Yeah, I mean – We all looked at these schedules at the beginning of the year back in the summer and said you could clearly see Ohio State and Oregon playing at least twice this year, and who knows, maybe three times. But you'd much rather host Boise State than have it played on a neutral field or somewhere else. So it still goes advantage Ohio State if, in fact, Boise State ends up one of the lesser four at-large teams or whatever you want to call them.
There seemed to be a lot of giddiness, justifiably so, after Ohio State beat Penn State. How big was that win for Ryan Day?
Well, it was huge, but it was more huge for this Ohio State football team because they had to get it done in the trenches, on the goal line stand, and then on the drive, the all run drive they had coming off the goal line, which put the game away. It's more, you know, yes, Ryan Day wants that win, whatever that monkey was that was on his back. I'm not sure that monkey's gotten any lighter. It's just moved from one shoulder to the next, you know.
Yeah.
But now, can you beat Oregon, you know, because Oregon beat these guys in, what was that, it was C.J. Stroud's first year in 2021, and then Oregon beat him again by 1 point, you know, earlier this year, and are they going to play Oregon again? It looks like it. So the monkey just kind of jumps around when it comes to Ohio State football coach. But it was huge. It was huge winning that game on the road in the fashion which Ohio State won it. You know, this pretty, pretty team, you know, as everybody liked to call Ohio State several years ago, got it done where it mattered most in the trenches. And that bodes well for them moving forward, especially with the way the offensive line played on that last drive.
And the big thing with the Tim, and Tim May joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, read him at Letterman Row, the Tim May podcast, always a fantastic listen on top of that. You came on here last week, man, and said they have got to run the ball. They got to run the ball. They got to refine that identity. And it seems like in the Penn State game, they found that identity once again. The question is it sustainable? And I don't know if we're going to have that answer against Purdue.
Right. I mean, what's the question you want answered against Purdue offensively? And, okay, you'll get that answer tomorrow probably. You see what I'm saying?
I mean, quite Purdue, enough, my friend, outside of measuring that drum, because that's a big old drum.
Yeah, it is a big old drum, you know, and it's probably it's very little used. If, in fact, they only bang it after victories. But
no kidding, that thing's in good shape.
The new skins they've got on there for this year. I don't know where I'm going. Oh, bottom line was, yeah, I expected Ohio State after the embarrassing showing against Nebraska running the ball, what, 65 yards? Are you kidding me? To come back and assert itself on the ground. Because you got to, number one, in an Ohio State-Penn State game. You've got to assert yourself on the ground some form or fashion. And then with you know, Donovan Jackson starting at left tackle and Carson Hensman, I think I might have talked about this on y'all's show last week. Don't get mad, as I always apologize, but you're not the only show I do on a Friday.
What?
But, yeah, exactly.
They commit show adultery all the time on us.
Exactly. But the bottom line was Carson Hensman starting at left guard made all kinds of sense. Number one, he was their starting center for 12 games last year. So, and as Ryan Day pointed out after the game, yeah, they went with experience. I mean, you're in a hostile environment. This is a guy that, you know, had some really good moments last year and had some moments he regretted. But the bottom line is he's been on the bench and bring him in. And, I thought he played about as well, if not better, than all the offensive linemen. So that was huge. But then getting Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson on track and then another guy who can run the ball by the name of Will Howard. Those were all big, big achievements by this offense against not Akron, but against Penn State, which was undefeated, unbeaten going into that game, just to refresh everybody's mind.
Tim May joining us, Letterman Row, the Tim May podcast. I want to go back a few years, and you were there. You can shed light on this. And I've always thought it was a really, really interesting thing. Last night, we saw Joe Burrow throw for 428 yards and four touchdowns and look like one of the best five quarterbacks in the NFL, which I think he is. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you know, who else do you want to put in there? When he was at Ohio State, JT Barrett beat him out, was the starting quarterback for 2 years. And then the next year, Dwayne Haskins beat him out, and Joe left and went to LSU. And I have a hard time arguing with that, because JT Barrett was really good and the Buckeyes were good with him, and Dwayne Haskins threw 50 touchdown passes and they went 13-1.
But you're going to argue with it. Go ahead.
No, I'm not, actually. What I want to know is, and because you were there, what happened? What was Joe Burrow then, and why was he not the starter? I'm not even arguing with it, because Barrett was really good and Haskins threw 50 touchdowns. They went 13-1.
Yeah,
but what was it? What happened then?
Well, number one, I invite anybody who questions some of that to just go look at the Big Ten quarterback records that were set during those years.
Yeah.
The two fellas you're talking about.
Yeah.
JT Barrett was a two-year starter, you know, coming back. He wasn't going to beat out JT Barrett. And then with Dwayne Haskins, just when Joe really needed to assert himself, which was the preseason of 2017, he broke, I think, a bone in his throwing hand and had to step aside for a while. Then, of course, at Michigan in 2017, what happens? And you can talk to Joe Burrow's dad about this same thing. That's what he said. He ends up, Dwayne Haskins Jr. goes in for an injured JT Barrett and leads that team in a come-from-behind victory on the road at Michigan. Now, he has that on his resume, and he's playing for Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
He's playing for Urban Meyer, who doesn't forget about things like that. And it could have been – I mean, Joe had to like really just go nuts in the spring, in winter conditioning in the spring of 2018 to get that shot over Dwayne Haskins Jr. as the starter. And really, the coaches thought it was a push. If anything, it was a push. I mean, Joe Burrow was a hell of a quarterback, is a hell of a quarterback. But you finally end up playing one of them, right?
Right. And Tim, I'm not even arguing the point, because the guys were so good.
Right,
JT Barrett was a great college quarterback, and Dwayne Haskins was phenomenal that year. I'm more curious as what was it about Joe that he wasn't ready to beat those guys out? Because clearly at some point in his life, after he went to LSU and after the first year there, he became a different guy. Where did he change?
Well, yeah, number one, about the first part of it, go ahead. Ask me this question. Tim, what's the secret to your success? Ask me that.
Tim, what's the secret to your success other than good looks?
Timing. In other words, things didn't time out right for him. You know that.
I thought it was good looks for you.
Yeah, well, no, it's a lot of things, but I was trying to get a joke in.
It was good.
But the bottom line is I wasn't going to talk serious about that aspect of things. But the point is timing plays a role in everything you do in life.
Yeah.
You know, when Joe Burrow went to LSU, did he set the world on fire?
Not his first year. No,
he did not. And then they bring in an offensive coordinator that literally fits exactly what Joe Burrow likes to do from an offensive standpoint. They turned him loose a little bit. It was his next year is when he lit the SEC up like no one's ever seen before.
Exactly.
A humble quarterback from the great state of Ohio. So it's all those things. I mean, but I've been on several documentaries anyway of people chronicling Joe Burrow's rise. And one of the things I've told everybody that stood out to me about him was his freshman year, might have been his sophomore year. But anyway, in the spring game, he was the only quarterback who wasn't wearing a black jersey, meaning tee off on him, Bosa's, you know, and whomever else, Chase Young. And they did, and he took a licking, but he was putting the ball on the money, even though every other play seemed like he was getting creamed, much like you saw last night. This guy's always had it. Then when he got a chance to really show it, he proved himself. He won the freaking Heisman Trophy, you know, and so, you know, there are no tears really for Joe Burrow, except he would have liked to have done it for Ohio State, but he moved on from that a lot more quickly than other people did.
You know,
last night he should have had, you know, that face mask. I don't know what's going on with NFL officials, fellas, but it's just unbelievable the stuff they don't see when you got two, sometimes three guys supposedly looking at the same thing. What are they looking at? That's my big question.
That's a great question.
More than anything, Tim, what a credit to the talent that Ohio State had that Joe Burrow couldn't get on the field there. That's
right, but that's what happens at Ohio State.
They
go out and they recruit these good players, and then the next year they recruit, try to get guys who are even better than them.
Yep.
And that's why Ohio State is sitting here right now among the elite with a month and a quarter to go in the regular season, counting the conference championship games weekend. That's why they're sitting here with a shot to play for it all. You know, I mean, some disasters have to happen. But I want to tell you one other quick thing. Indiana's the real deal. They may get beat on Saturday. They may run into a Michigan team that finally gets its act together again on defense. I don't think Michigan's ever going to get its act together on offense this year. But Indiana's the real deal. Who knew that the big game of the year was going to be the game before the game? And that's exactly what it's turned out to be.
You're 100% right, man. I mean, that Indiana team is nothing to sneeze at. That team is going to come in, and they're going to beat you up, and they're going to be tough. It's blown me away. It's one of those, man, with Indiana being as good as they are, and you can toss Nebraska having some teeth in there too, even Illinois, at least until of late. Like, this, I give it credit, man. The transfer portal has done everything I could ask for and then some. We have taken the talent and we have spread it out so that all these kids are able to play and they could get out there, and you're not sitting in a situation that we've been chronicling for the last 5 minutes of a Joe Burrow having to sit behind JT Barrett and sit behind Dwayne Haskins. Instead, those guys are playing. It's great for the sport.
Yeah, bottom line is the best rosters in college football right now probably are at Ohio State and Texas and Georgia, to a certain extent Alabama, although Alabama's had its tough times, but and I can name a couple others there, but the also bottom line is everybody now, because of the transfer portal, has good players, some more than others. But it's interesting that, you know, the kid at Texas, Jonte Davis, the wide receiver, just announced he's going into the portal because he's, you know, he's been very little used, even though he was a five-star recruit a year ago. Everybody has got pretty good players. If you don't, you're not trying. And then you look at an Indiana, and Indiana, you know, Kurt Cignetti brought a lot of his guys from James Madison, who have been playing together for a while, and they've turned into a really good, cohesive football team. The point is, there's no excuse for not having players. Look at Vanderbilt. Are you kidding me? I mean, Vanderbilt's favored over South Carolina on Saturday. South Carolina, which just beat Texas A&M. You know what I mean?
Outside of in baseball, that's not supposed to happen.
No, exactly. But the point is, everybody's got players now. You should not sleep on anyone. And if you don't have players, like I said, it's your own fault. Because get your NIL together, get your transfer portal attractiveness together, and go get some players. But I guess the other point is there's no just true pushovers. Very rare are there true pushovers in any of the major conferences anymore. And people better get used to that. There is no, you know, running up a 56-0 lead and then taking your starters out in probably most of the major conference games anymore. We'll see. You know, there's always an anomaly here and there. But that's what stands out most is players are out there. Go get them.
Great to have you with us, buddy. Thank you, sir.
Talk soon.
Always a pleasure being on with you guys. I like how we covered this whole segment. I don't think we even talked about Purdue, but that's okay.
Well, Tim, they're 1-7. The biggest thing Purdue's got going for them is the big old drum, and it's hardly getting used.
Remember, you can't spell Purdue without P-U.
Tim May. Thanks, buddy.
Talk soon,
man. See you, fellas.
Letterman Rowe, the Tim May Podcast, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Love the Joe Burrow thoughts. Let's dig into that next on Baskin and Phelps. First, the 2020 with Hody. and what happened with Joe Burrow at Ohio State. And, you know, on one hand, you can see the professional quarterback that Joe became, and you can see the quarterback that he became his final year at LSU. But it's interesting to me that, and I don't think it's an arguable point, and I'd love to argue it, and I don't think I can. JT Barrett was a better college quarterback than Joe Burrow, Joe's first 2 years at Ohio State. And Dwayne Haskins beat him out for the job in what turned into Joe's junior year and then threw 50 touchdown passes. And sometimes a guy might have to pay some dues or learn some things or develop to become the guy that he's going to become, whether it be in football or anything else. And that seems to be Joe Burrow.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and here's the other part of that argument, which is we're in a world pre-transfer portal. And so we're in the older...
Well, now that's the truth.
We are in the older idea of how college ball was operating, which was these guys, these coaches were kings, and they had uncontested power over everything. So they would just look down at the roster and everybody that they recruited, and they would go, who best fits what my system is and what I want to run? I want to run read option. Who fits read option better? JT Barrett? Joe Burrow. JT Barrett's a little faster. You really don't want Joe Burrow doing a whole bunch of read option stuff where he's taking quarterback keepers and all that. JT Barrett, you feel comfortable doing that. Dwayne Haskins could drop back and fling it, but he also was more mobile than Joe Burrow was. Mm-hmm. And remember, unchecked power. So nobody was going to walk in there at that time and go, you have to play Joe Burrow because we're paying him X, Y, and Z. Or you have to figure out your system for Joe Burrow because of this reason. No, you were the king. No one was telling you what to do. So it's not like somebody like Gene Smith was going to come down and go, this kid's from Athens, Ohio. You have to play him. No, that means nothing.
It is interesting to me, and this is the one thing that will stick in my head, is that, okay, did the Ohio State staff not see what he might be able to become?
Oh, they saw.
Hold on. Could they not develop what he might be able to become? Or did the other two guys just flat out play better college football quarterback? And I think that they both played better college football quarterback for what they wanted to do at Ohio State at the time.
That last part of it is the key.
Yep.
I think that will always be the story of Joe Burrow. It has nothing to do with the talent that he had. It has nothing to do with the arm strength, nothing to do with the accuracy. It's Ohio State at that time and college football at that time ran a system.
Yeah.
And if you didn't fit that system completely flush, they would find the next guy who was a flush fit into that system.
And when you're a guy like Joe Burrow and you were a top-notch quarterback in the state of Ohio, Ohio State has to recruit you or they run the risk of having him thrown back in your face of, you know, well, you can't recruit the state, blah, 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 blah. If you're the top quarterback in Ohio and you don't go to Ohio State, for instance, Drew Aller, you know, mm-hmm. from Medina, is at Penn State now. Ohio State didn't jump in on him early. Penn State did. He went to Penn State. And I think that's part of it, too. As a top player in Ohio, Ohio State has to go and get you.
I'll even take it a step.
Otherwise, I think they catch some grief.
I'll take it a step further on you. If this was 1995, I'd guarantee you Joe Burrow would have started for the Buckeyes. Like, that stuff meant more back then. Now, I mean, gosh, Ohio State at that point had a pipeline to Florida. I mean, what, JT Barrett, I think, was from Pennsylvania, I believe. I want to say it was something like that. He was from, I think, a neighboring state. And, like, I could, and if I'm wrong, at CLE Talking Heads, I'm doing this off the top of my head, folks, okay. So I apologize.
I have Andy's Google. He left it.
Yeah, as I said, I apologize if I'm incorrect on this, so please correct me. Like, you are now recruiting the country far more than you were recruiting the state of Ohio, where in 1995 you were recruiting the state of Ohio. You know, it was such a different mantra at that point, where it was like, yeah, okay, Joe Burrow wanted to play for Ohio State. Sure, you can play for Ohio State, but I got all these guys from everywhere else because the Ohio State Buckeyes are on around the country and have fans from everywhere. And on top of that, Urban Meyer could walk down and go, hey, Florida, wide receivers, let's go. Give me him.
JT from Wichita Falls, Texas.
Texas, okay. And who was it? I was thinking it was from Pennsylvania, who was an Ohio State quarterback.
Nonetheless,
that doesn't matter.
Isn't Haskins from Maryland?
Easily could be the case again.
The late Dwayne Haskins.
Again, I'm doing this from the top of my head. So this could all be very hairy. But you're just in a different mindset then. Where in 1995, you had a fence around the state of Ohio that nobody gets in, nobody gets out. Now, I don't know how much of that fence is even left. Or if it is, you're getting recruited to Ohio State, and then you're transferring to somewhere else to go get your opportunity.
It's interesting. Neil is in Fairview Park. Hello, Neil.
How are you, Neil?
Hey, how are you today?
Well.
I'm listening to you, and I thought back to about 15 years ago. St. Ignatius had a quarterback, Joe Pickens.
Yep. It was longer ago than 15.
Well, it might have been.
Joe went to Duke, didn't he? Joe ended up at Duke after going to Ohio State. Yeah.
But the only reason why they took him was so he wouldn't go to Michigan. And then they had no intention of playing him. So this has been going on for a long time. And I was sitting in the stands next to a Brown scout who I think he was there to see his son. But he was saying Pickens had the arm of an NFL quarterback in high school. So, I mean, I think Ohio State just picks guys to take them so they don't go to other schools. And back then, you couldn't transfer. You didn't have the portal.
Exactly.
I mean, you had to sit out a year and mess up your whole college career to do that.
Yep.
So he wound up going to Duke, and he played well there. But I think at that point, he had just had enough of college football. And he wound up becoming a top-notch lawyer in Columbus. So, but I think the whole Joe Burrow thing was we took him just so no one else could get him.
I don't doubt that at all. Neil, thank you very much. Joe Pickens is a great example. A really good quarterback at Ignatius for the Wildcats and went to Ohio State. Never quite had the opportunity there that he wanted. We could actually play the game. And that's the way that one goes.
And, I mean, Joe Burrow fell into a situation where he was launching passes to Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Meh. There are worse places you can find yourself.
How'd that work?
Far worse places you can find yourself.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.